We turn in God's Word this evening to Luke 18. Luke 18, we shall read the first 17 verses. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Thus far we read God's holy inspired word. Our text this evening is the well-known parable of the Pharisee and the publican, found in verses 9 through 14 of this chapter. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. At the polar opposites of Jewish society stood the Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisee, whose name means separated one, belonged to a special class in Israel which had devoted themselves to keeping God's law. And we are used to understanding that the Pharisees are the villains of the New Testament. After all, the Bible is full of condemnation against the Pharisees. But understand, in the context of the first century AD, when Jesus walked the earth, the Pharisees were highly respected members of society. They were the religious elite. And if the common people would see a Pharisee in the marketplace or wherever, their reaction would not be to despise them. Their reaction would be to honor them, to step out of the way, as it were, and say, "Rabbi, Rabbi." And that is what the Pharisees wanted. The Pharisees loved to be greeted in the marketplaces and called Rabbi. On the other side, we have the publican, or the tax collector. And just as the Pharisee was universally admired as one who was extra pious in Israel, so the publican was universally despised. He was a traitor. He worked for the oppressive Roman government, taking taxes from the poor Jews. And what is more, he often kept more than he was supposed to. He kept the rest for himself. And often publicans would be rich. Think of Zacchaeus. And because they had so much contact with the Romans, who were the unclean Gentiles, publicans were considered to be unclean, and therefore despised, and no one would have anything to do with a publican. And this contrast comes out very starkly in the parable which we consider this evening, known as the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. Jesus puts before us two men, two opposite men, and he compares and contrasts them before our very eyes. The besetting sin of the Pharisee was self-righteousness. And this was the reason for the parable, to expose the sin of self-righteousness. Verse 9 tells us that, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." When Jesus told this parable, he had his mind set upon the Pharisees. He was out to expose the Pharisees as self-righteous. That was their besetting sin. The sin rooted in pride of basing either some or all of one's acceptance before God on oneself, on one's own works and efforts. And Jesus chooses to tell this by means of a parable. He does not give us an abstract treatise on the subject of self-righteousness. He could have done that. Rather, he gives us a very vivid story. A story which even the little children can understand. They can see, by looking at this parable, what self-righteousness is. And remember, when Jesus told this parable, there were Pharisees in his audience. The Pharisees followed Jesus Christ around from village to village, trying to find something with which they could accuse him. And Jesus was not frightened of what the Pharisees might think. He deliberately exposes them before the whole of Israel as self-righteous men. And at the same time, he proclaims the glorious gospel of free grace to all those who are penitent sinners like the poor publican. Consider then this parable under the theme, the dreadful sin of self-righteousness. the dreadful sin of self-righteousness. First of all, illustrated in the Pharisee, then contrasted with the publican, and finally, its dreadful result. The dreadful sin of self-righteousness. In this parable, then, Jesus gives us a snapshot of a man who is wholly taken up with himself and his own self-righteousness. He describes one going to the temple to pray. Prayer is a holy activity, a religious activity. And when a man goes up to the temple to pray, his purpose is to pour out the contents of his heart before God. But that is not what the Pharisee does when he prays. Rather, the Pharisees had made prayer into some kind of a performance before men. The Pharisee went up to the temple so that other people could see that he was praying. He stands in a prominent place in the middle of the temple. He has his prayer all worked out in his mind, what he's going to say, and he pours forth these words out loud so that the people in the temple can see him and they can say, "My, what a righteous, pious fellow that Pharisee is. If only I could attain to the heights of his righteousness. If only I could be as pious and religious as he is." And that is exactly what the Pharisee wanted them to think. But notice, although his purpose was to go up into the temple to pray, he does not actually pray at all. Look at his so-called prayer. He does not pray. He boasts. And prayer is many things. Prayer is the praise of God. Prayer is thanksgiving to God. Prayer is the confession of sin and the asking of forgiveness. Prayer is the pouring forth of petitions before God. But one thing prayer most certainly is not, and that is boasting. One who comes into the presence of the Most High God with a mouth full of boasting is standing on very dangerous ground indeed. But this Pharisee, heedless of the danger, rushes presumptuously into the presence of God and boasts before God. Look at his prayer. It's filled with self. "I thank thee that I am not as other men are. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess." I. That is the content of the prayer of the Pharisee. And you can be sure, if Jesus had not cut him off at that point, he would have gone on for minute after minute after minute with more of this self-righteous boasting before God. But we've heard enough. Jesus has given us a snapshot of his behavior. We know exactly the direction in which this Pharisee is going. We don't need to hear any more. And do not be fooled either by the beginning of his prayer where he says, "I thank thee." There is in reality no thanksgiving in this prayer. It's a sham. It's a fraud. If there is any thanksgiving in this prayer, he is thanking God for giving him the power to save himself by his own good works. And that is a perversion of thanksgiving. Prayer reveals what is in your heart. And this prayer reveals what is in the heart of the Pharisee. And moreover, it reveals in what the Pharisee places his confidence. In himself. I. In himself. And that's also what verse 9 says. He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. He trusts in himself. The ground of all his confidence then is not the mercy of God, not the grace of God, but himself. His works, his observance of the law, his being a pious Jew, his prayers, or whatever else he can offer before God. And that is clear from his prayer as well, from this perspective. What is missing in his prayer? There was something glaringly missing in his prayer. Something that even the little children have in their prayers at the dinner table. Forgive my sins for Jesus' sake. There is no petition for the forgiveness of sins in this prayer. Because the Pharisee does not believe he needs to make such a prayer. Because the Pharisee does not believe he has sinned. Notice that the Pharisee sees all kinds of sins. But he sees them outside of himself. I thank thee that I am not as other men are. And then he lists the kind of sinners whom he sees in Israel. Over there is an extortioner. I thank thee that I am not an extortioner. And over there, O God, is an unjust person. I thank thee that I am not unjust. And back there is an adulterer. And I thank thee that I am not an adulterer. And over in that corner, cowering in the corner, is a publican. And I thank thee that I am not like that publican. Because the Pharisee does not see any sins in himself. He does not confess any sins of his own. He doesn't understand that he is actually a fallen child of Adam, who is therefore totally depraved and unable to do anything good, and therefore unable to please God by his works. He is blinded to that truth. His self-righteousness has blinded him into thinking that he is righteous in himself and therefore has no need to confess his sin before God. In fact, far from confessing his sin before God, he boasts in his merits before God. Notice verse 12. I fast twice in the week. How often was it required in the law of God to fast? Once a year on the Day of Atonement. And here is the Pharisee boasting before God that he exceeds that limit by fasting twice in the week. He also tithes everything which he possesses. He says, that was also a requirement of the law, to give a tenth of your income to God. But he goes above and beyond that also, because he gives a tenth of absolutely everything which comes into his possession to God. And these are the grounds he sets forth before God for why he should be accepted as righteous in the sight of God. He keeps the law. He keeps the law perfectly. He goes above and beyond the keeping of the law. And the Pharisee has therefore made a dreadful mistake. How could this Pharisee ever have convinced himself that he is righteous when he is clearly a sinner? And the answer is, he has a very low view of God. If you have a low view of God, you will have a very high view of yourself. And the more you exalt yourself, the more you abase God in your own sight. And this is what the Pharisee has done. He has no proper conception of the holiness and of the righteousness of God. He does not understand that God is spotlessly holy and will not accept anything less than absolute perfection. He thinks that what he has done is good enough. And he has also lowered the demands of the law. And a self-righteous person must always do this. Because when a person understands what the law really is, that the law demands obedience from the heart, lifelong obedience from the heart, with the motive of the love of God and the love of one's neighbor, one understands it's impossible. Absolutely impossible to keep such a law perfectly. But the Pharisee does not understand this. He thinks that simply doing the outward obedience is enough. And that is why he can claim that he is not an adulterer or an extortioner or an unjust person, when in fact he is. He is an adulterer. Because, as Jesus explains in the Sermon on the Mount, if you lust after a woman in your heart, you are an adulterer. And all the other commandments apply to him as well. He's broken all of those commandments in his heart, and probably also some of them in his life. But he will not confess that before God, and he assumes that he is entitled to a prominent place in heaven. But there's a danger for us in looking at this parable this evening. There's a danger that we might look upon this Pharisee with a certain amount of smugness and say, almost in a parody of the prayer of the Pharisee, God, I thank thee that I am not like this Pharisee. And then we have missed the point. Jesus is exposing the sin of self-righteousness. Jesus is exposing the sin of self-righteousness in you and in me. Not simply in the Pharisee of the first century, but in the church of today. And we must confess, as hard as that is for us, that there is much more of the Pharisee in us than we would care to admit. Think of the attitude of the Pharisee. He came to the public worship of God in the temple with this motive, to be seen of men. And how much of that is found in our hearts? When we come to worship God on the Lord's Day, do we come out of a desire to worship God? Or is there part of us which hopes that people will see us and admire us for being pious members of the church? Do we come to hear the word of God and to humble ourselves under that word as that word points out our sins and leads us then through true repentance to the foot of the cross? Or do we come to hear what the word of God has to say about our neighbor? I hope he's listening to this. I hope she's listening to this. He or she really needs to hear this. And what about our attitude to the other members of the church? Notice the attitude that the Pharisee had. He compares himself favorably with everyone else around him. I thank thee that I am not as other men are. And then he lists all of the people who are different from him. And that attitude can be found in the Church of Jesus Christ as well. We think to ourselves, I thank thee, God, that I am not like other men. And we gossip about the other members of the church. Did you hear what he did? Did you hear what she did? Did you see what their children did? I am glad I am not like them. I thank thee that I am not as other men are. And such self-righteous attitudes are abominable in the sight of God. God calls us to be humble before him and to be humble before the other members of the church. And if we are humble, we'll be slow, very slow to find fault with the other members and very quick to find fault with ourselves and to see our own sins. And if we are humble, we will esteem the other members of the church to be better than we are. And what a church that would be if everyone in the church was to esteem the other members better than him or herself. What peace, what harmony there would be in the church and in the home and in the Christian school. Children, imagine if you always thought that your brother or your sister was better than you are. And you always looked out for their interests before your own. Think of the peace there would be in your home and in your classroom at school. We must confess that ever since the fall, we are by nature proud. By nature, self-righteous. Always seeking a way to take some of the credit of salvation to ourselves. And our self-righteous flesh does not like to hear the truth that we are by nature totally depraved and utterly hopeless and helpless before the Holy God. And we must then ascribe all of our salvation to the grace of God alone. Rather, we like to be flattered. Our flesh loves the praise of men. And because of this besetting sin of our hearts, as well as the besetting sin of the Pharisees of long ago, we need to be earnest and often in prayer. God, be merciful to me, a Pharisee. A Pharisee. But there were two men who went up to the temple to pray that day. And Jesus contrasts them very starkly in this parable. Imagine, though, the reaction of the people of Jesus' day. They had just heard a description of a Pharisee. And now Jesus talks about a miserable publican. And he dares to mention those two people in the same breath. And the reaction of the people would have been this. How could that miserable publican have the audacity to come to the temple of God and expect to be heard favorably by God? But Jesus shows us that the publican is the exact opposite in every way to the Pharisee. Notice his posture. The Pharisee stood in a prominent place in the temple, hoping that others would see him and praise him for his piety. But the publican, he stands afar off. He is afraid to come too close to the holy place of God. He will not even look up into heaven. He looks downward in utter shame because he knows he is unworthy to stand in the presence of God. And he beats in anguish upon his breast, mourning over his sin. And Jesus says that he humbles himself. The publican humbles himself. He understands, unlike the Pharisee, into whose presence he is now coming. Perhaps as he came up the hill to the temple, he had planned to say a certain prayer. Perhaps he had all kinds of wonderful words rehearsed in his mind. But as he now comes into the holy place, the temple, he realizes where he is. He's in the presence of God, the holy, the righteous, the almighty God of heaven and earth. And all of his wonderful prayers flee away from his mind. And all idea of any self-worth evaporates. And he humbles himself in the presence of the Most High God. And because of his different attitude, his prayer is completely different from the Pharisee. The Pharisee mentions the works which he has done, the works for which he thinks he deserves to have the favor of God. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess, he says. But the publican does not mention any works which he has done. Nothing comes to mind. He looks back over the past week and nothing whatever comes to mind which he could dare mention in the presence of God as a reason for God to show favor to him. In fact, all of his works, even his best works of the past week, are enough to condemn him, and he knows it. The Pharisee said, I thank thee that I am not unjust. In other words, I thank thee that I am righteous. But the publican's prayer is very short and to the point. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He confesses his sin. He confesses that he has broken all of the commandments of God. He confesses, moreover, that he is by nature a sinner. He does not simply say, have mercy upon me, one who has sinned, one who has broken a few laws this past week. But rather he says, God be merciful to me, a sinner. That is, one who is by nature sinful, one who does nothing but sin, one who is by nature totally depraved and unable to do anything good, one who falls short every moment of every day of the perfect standard of God's righteousness. And while the Pharisee compares himself favorably with all the people in the temple, I thank thee that I am not like him or like her or like him, the publican will not dare to make such a comparison. He knows this. He is a sinner, and God is holy. He does not care about anyone else in the temple, how holy or how sinful they may or may not be. That is not his concern. And in fact, he looks upon the other people in the temple with a certain amount of judgment of charity. He assumes that everyone else in the temple must be more righteous than he is. Surely, he says to God, surely no one can be as sinful as I am. I am the chief of sinners. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The original has it, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. As it were, the only sinner, the worst of all sinners. And this prayer too shows us in what the publican places his confidence. The Pharisee placed his confidence in himself, in his works. But what does the publican say? He looks to the mercy of God. He understands he is not entitled to anything from God. His plea is simply this: God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Look upon me, Lord, in thy pity. Do not punish me as I deserve. He knows he deserves to be damned for all eternity to hell. And he would not be able to complain either if God were to send him to hell. But he hopes in God's mercy. He is an Old Testament saint, a believer from the old dispensation, and he has come to the right place. He has come to the temple. For there we have the token of God's mercy displayed for us in the temple, in the sacrifices of the Old Testament system. He knows that in the temple, blood is shed, sacrifices are made, and he knows that one is coming who will take away his sin. The reality to which all of these other sacrifices point. He's coming. The seed of the woman. He's coming. The suffering servant. He's coming. And so he trusts in the mercy of God. And this comes out very powerfully when we look at the original translation of his prayer. He does not use the normal word for mercy found in the New Testament scriptures. Rather, literally his prayer is this: God be propitious with respect to me, the sinner. God be propitious with respect to me, the sinner. To be propitious means to be appeased or placated by the turning away of wrath by the means of a sacrifice. And so the publican is praying this: Lord, let there be some way in which thy fierce and just wrath, which is directed toward me, be turned away from me and placed upon another. Let there be something or someone who will take away the punishment which I deserve, so that I know thy mercy and love. That is what the publican has in mind when he cries out, God be propitious with respect to me, the sinner. But the Pharisee, he will never utter such a prayer. He will never confess himself to be the sinner. He will never ask God for mercy based upon a sacrifice. He trusts in himself, and therefore he despises such a propitiation. And this propitiation is the cross of Jesus Christ. There, God was appeased. There, God was placated. There, the wrath of God was turned away. There, a perfect sacrifice was made. A substitute was given. Christ, in mercy, stood in the place of all of his elect and took the punishment that they deserve. And the Pharisee despises such a salvation, and so does every self-righteous person today. You bring the gospel of the cross of Christ, to a self-righteous person, one who believes that his salvation is to be found in himself, in his works, in his merits, and you explain to him he is utterly, hopelessly lost, There is nothing he can do to save himself. The cross of Christ, where the Son of God bled and died, that is the only hope for sinners. And his reaction will always be to despise it. I will not believe in such a salvation, cries the self-righteous man. I do not need such a salvation. Perhaps particularly wicked people might need a salvation like that. But I can save myself by my own good works. Perhaps that miserable publican in the corner needs salvation like that, but I do not need it. I will never submit to such a salvation. I will get to heaven according to my way. That's always the reaction, but for the grace of God, from a self-righteous person. At the end of this parable, Jesus drops a bombshell on the crowd. They have been listening patiently to this parable. He has set forth before them two men, a Pharisee with all of his piety, seeming piety, his prayers, his good works, his merits, and then a miserable publican who simply cries out for the mercy of God. And Jesus then drops a bombshell. The Pharisee is not justified. The Pharisee is not justified. That is the shocking, authoritative verdict of the Lord Jesus on this case. Only one of the two men is justified, and it is not the Pharisee. That is not what the crowd of people would have been expecting who heard this parable. They would have been shocked, utterly shocked, and the Pharisees would have been insulted beyond belief. Jesus tells them all of their works, all of their meticulous observance of the law, all of their so-called pious prayers are utterly worthless in the sight of God, rejected by God, and they themselves are cast off by God. The Pharisee congratulated himself that he was righteous, but Jesus puts him in the category of the unrighteous, of the unjustified, of the condemned. The Pharisee may have gone home that day with the applause of men ringing in his ears. That is what he wanted, after all. Oh my, what a pious individual that Pharisee is. Did you hear his prayer in the temple? Wasn't that a wonderful prayer which he made? I wish I could be like him. But Jesus tells the Pharisee, they may have the applause of men, but that's all they have. They do not have the favor of God. Jesus points out their self-righteousness and their hypocrisy. And this enraged the Pharisees. This was just another parable, another statement of Jesus that poured insult upon injury upon the Pharisees. And they were furious. And eventually their fury would reach such a height that they will plot to kill Jesus, and they will eventually succeed in having Jesus put to death by the Romans on a cross. And all those who, like the Pharisees of old, trust in their works, those who are self-righteous, will have the same verdict on the day of judgment. They can plead their good works before God. They can say, I was a member of a Christian church. I went to church twice every Lord's Day. I prayed, I fasted, I read the Scriptures, I did good works, I visited the sick, I helped the poor, and on and on and on it will go. But God will say, away from me. I see you dressed before me in filthy rags and dung. You are not dressed in the perfect righteousness of my beloved Son. You are not washed in His blood. You come into my presence exalting yourself. Well, now I will abase you. I will abase you to the lowest hell. And that's what Jesus says. He that exalteth himself shall be abased. And the Pharisee and all men like the Pharisee shall be abased. And to add insult to injury for the Pharisee, Jesus declares that the publican goes home justified. It's one thing for the Pharisee to hear the damning verdict of Christ, that he does not go home justified. It's another thing for the Pharisee to hear that his enemy, the one he despised, does in fact go home justified before him. He will see the publicans going into heaven before him, and the door will be shut, and he will not go in with the publicans into heaven. He will be cast into hell. And this is good news. Good news for publicans. Good news for those who find their salvation in Jesus Christ. Good news for those who cry out for mercy to God. God be propitious with respect to me, the sinner. God hears such a cry. God will not despise one who relies on His mercy. And notice, the publican had nothing whatsoever to bring before God. Here we have a perfect example in the teaching of Jesus Christ of justification by faith alone without works. And modern scholars tell us that Jesus did not teach such a doctrine. He did in this very parable. The publican came into the temple with no works. He mentions no works before God. He does not dare even mention any works before God. He goes home having done no works. No works. And before he even gets home, he has this assurance. He is justified. On what basis? On what basis is this man justified? On the basis of the perfect righteousness of Christ. The sins of this miserable publican were imputed to Jesus Christ. And then the righteousness of Christ was imputed to this miserable publican. And now this publican stands before God as one who is innocent, perfectly justified, as if he has kept the entire law perfectly. And therefore, God says to him, innocent, not condemned, justified, worthy of eternal life. Come into my presence. Enjoy my presence forever in heaven. You did nothing to deserve it. It's a gift of my free grace earned for you on the cross of my Son. And the publican goes home justified. He goes home with this ringing in his ears. Not the applause of men which the Pharisee heard, but rather the approval of God. God tells him in his consciousness, he is justified. He has that assurance. He has peace in his soul, joy in his heart as he goes home justified. And that is what we have when we hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. God declares to us, we who believe in Jesus Christ, we who forsake all of our own righteousness and trust alone in the work of Christ on the cross, we hear that through the preaching of the gospel. We are justified. We go home justified. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the great truth of justification, that we have been freely justified by thy grace. We have done nothing to deserve it. Our Savior has purchased it for us on the cross. Give us, Father, thy Holy Spirit too, that we might live lives of thankfulness to thee for this unspeakable gift. For Christ's sake, amen.